Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be talking today about the Christmas story. We've just seen a program presenting what took place 2,000 years ago to remind us that God sent His Son into the world. The love of God is indescribable, folks. You and I can't grasp how much God loves everyone of people everywhere, no matter who they are, no matter how they're living. We just can't comprehend. God loves people so much. And only the cross of Christ gives evidence of how much God does love us. The story of Bethlehem, a manger and a virgin-born son, is always delightful to hear to me. Every year, it's just as exciting as it was when I was like these little children up here this morning. It never grows old. And I just get a great blessing watching those of you that are in the program today carry out our program today. We never get tired of hearing of God's love for mankind. There's a lot of people in the world today that don't feel loved. There's a lot of people today downhearted, downtrodden. They don't feel love at all. But I can tell you one thing. God loves them. God loves everybody. God's for everybody. The problem lies in people don't look to God for hope and for love and for meaning and purpose in life. That's where people fall short at. They fail to look to the one that can help them. They try to find the meaning and purpose in life in the things of this life, and it's not there. It's not there. This is the message from the Bible, from Revelation to Genesis to Revelation, that God loves you. Think about it a moment. God loves you. You're important to God. This is not a story that we're talking about. The program is not just a story. It's not a novel. It's not a fairy tale either. Remember when we were little in school, we heard about the three little bears, the three little pigs. We heard about Cinderella. Those are all fairy tales. The story of Jesus Christ being born and laid in a manger is not a fairy tale. It's true. It's a true story. It really happened. God really did send His Son. And He really was born in Bethlehem in a stable, likely a cave, and laid in a feed trough, a manger. That really happened. That's part of history. It's a true story of God's redeeming love by giving His only Son for our salvation. We were separated from God as a human race. Sin had separated us. And nothing man can do can bridge that gap. You can't live good enough to get God to accept you. Lots of people are trying to. Some people look for religion to get God to accept. It won't work. The only way God's going to accept anybody is by you and I accepting His Son for who He is and what He did. And that's the only way God's going to accept anybody. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's the story of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior, the only Savior, the only hope for any person anywhere. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. There's never been another story as great as this story. Because this message is the only message that can save a sinner and give them life eternal. It's the greatest love story. We can hear a lot of love stories in our world between a man and a woman. The Romeos and the Juliets, for example. Amen? But God's love is unsurpassed in loving you. And He really does love you. Never have your ears heard a sweeter message, and you will never hear one more glorious than the message of God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, anywhere, will believe in Him, believe in who He is, believe in what He did, will have everlasting life. God made it simple so no one would be lost. And yet, people will refuse to listen to this story. They won't go to a church to hear it. They won't turn on the radio to hear it. They won't turn it to a TV program to hear it. They won't pick up a booklet or the Bible to hear this story because Satan is deceiving them and they don't even know it, leading them down the broad road that leads to total destruction. The promise of a Messiah began 4,000 years before Christ ever came. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, God immediately made arrangements for their salvation because He didn't want them to be lost. And He made them a promise. I'm going to send a Messiah that will be a Savior for the human family. And it took 4,000 years for that Messiah to come. Which means when God makes a promise, it will be fulfilled when He gets ready for it to be fulfilled. 2,000 years have gone by since the Messiah came. And He came to die on a cross. That's why He came. He came to die. Because sin had slew all of us, Christ came to pay that sin debt, to satisfy God, so God could accept us if we would accept God's Son. So this story did not begin in Luke chapter 1 when an angel appeared. It actually began in Genesis chapter 3. So in Luke chapter 1, look down at verse 26 in your Bible. And in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee. That's up in the northern part of Israel. To Nazareth, to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph. In other words, she was what we would call today engaged to be married. And the angel said unto her, "Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Could you imagine this young teenage girl, maybe 13 or 14, and an angel appears to her, makes such an announcement. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Well, for one thing, he is great, isn't he? And he is the Son of the Highest, isn't he? So two of the three has already been fulfilled. The next event, God's going to give him the throne of his father David. And you know what? We're expecting him to come at any time to receive the church, the redeemed, out. And for 7 years of tribulation to come to get rid of the wicked. And then Christ sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years over in Jerusalem, in the land of Israel. The angel appeared to a young virgin named Mary. I wish all the names in the Bible was simple like that. Amen. I seen Johnny kind of stumble over one of them words a while ago. I don't know why they couldn't have Mary and Joe and Bill. Amen. Mary was a virgin who had never known a man, and in an improper relationship. And Mary was a spouse to Joseph. She was planning on getting married. But God had other plans for her. He wanted to use her to bring his son into the world. His son will not have a sin nature. Sin nature comes from men. But when the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary's womb, the Holy Spirit didn't have a sin nature. So Christ didn't have a sin nature. So his body came from Mary. His nature came from God. He's the only person that was a very God Almighty himself, and just as much human as any other person. He was the God-man. As Miss Vashti was loving that little baby doll a while ago, I was thinking how Mary really loved that little baby she had. How she must have kissed on his little face. You know, she was kissing God, the Creator, our Maker. He was very God as a little baby. He just lowered himself. We'll talk about that in a minute. He just humbled himself to be a little baby. Just like somebody had a little baby back there a while ago. Is it still back there somewhere? Oh, yeah, I see that little rascal. Yeah. Hey, Jesus one time was a little newborn baby. He came from a mother's womb like any other child. But his father was God. He was a man without sin. I tell you what, the wisdom of God, so that we could have a Savior, folks, or to touch your heart, that God was willing to go through all this for us. Then Mary said unto the angel in verse 34, chapter 1, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." God has only one Son. He don't have any others. Just one, Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible says that you and I are sons and daughters of God. How can that be if he only has one? We are adopted children. We're all adopted into God's family. But we have the same rights as Jesus has. That's amazing to me. And one day we're going to inherit all things with Jesus Christ, we that are saved. Are you saved?
Amen.
If you ain't, you ought to get saved. Never before has there been such a birth as God giving forth His Son, and there will never be another like that. It's a one-time deal. Let's talk a little bit about Christ's attitude about His having to come into the world. Can you imagine Christ's attitude when God the Father said, I want you to go down there to them sinners? Amen. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 in your Bible. Boy, this is a very important portion of Scripture in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'll remind you that Paul wrote this book in a Roman prison. And he didn't complain about being in a prison because he was delighting to serve God. In Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5, here's Christ's attitude about His coming into the world. Let this mind be in you, Christian people, He's saying, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. Remember now, He's the Lord of lords. Amen? He's very God. But now He's going to humble Himself to take a lower position. And was made in the likeness of men. God being made like a man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. But He never sinned. The reason you die and I die one day is because we're sinners. The reason anybody ever dies is because they're a sinner. A person can say, I'm not no sinner. Keep watching them. They're going to die. Just proof they're a sinner. Christ came to die because He took all of our sin to pay for us. He humbled Himself, came obedient to death, even the death of a cross, hanging naked on a cross, beaten to a pulse, because He loved you that much and me. That's why He's there, love. Wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. Right now, today, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, exalted. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things which are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Boy, that's a great scripture, folks. Showing Christ was willing to humble Himself to die the most horrible death any person has ever died because God's wrath fell on Him so we could live. This is an awesome thought that God took on a human nature and came to live among men because He loved us all so much. It's awesome to think about. In John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, if you'll flip over there in the Gospel of John chapter 1, you'll see the divinity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh. He just told us the Word was God. Now He tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John writes. John spent 3.5 years walking with Jesus. That must have been an amazing time, those 3.5 years. living with a man that had no sins, had no faults, no shortcomings. John could write about it and tell how he saw his glory. Does not this make the wonder of Bethlehem more wonderful? That babe that was born was really God himself that came because he loved us so much. The babe born long ago, lay in a manger, was no ordinary baby. It was God's son, his only son, who was very God. He was sent as a love gift. People are already giving out gifts for Christmas today. Maybe you've already given some gifts out. But you can't give a gift as great as the gift God gave. God has given the greatest of gifts. His gift will give you life forever in an eternal paradise where you'll never have a heartache or a tear shed. You'll be in an atmosphere where love cannot be described. It's so wonderful. You might know how you love some person or some child or some animal, but it's nothing to compare to God loving you. And in return, you're going to be able to do likewise to him. Love like we've never known. We're limited in this sin-cursed world. Christ is God's love gift for you and his salvation for all who will accept him. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 16 and 17, which we're told that through David, King David, through his lineage, Christ would come. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Nathan the prophet said, David, your kingdom is going to be established forever. How could that be? David died when he was 70 years old. Well, David had two sons, one named Nathan and one named Solomon. And Mary came from Nathan, I believe it was, and Joseph came from Solomon. The king line, the king lineage. And there'll be no successor, the Bible says in Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You know what the Word of God says? Christ's kingdom will never end when he sets it up. Now, here in our country, every 4 years we elect a president or else re-elect him for 4 more years. And then someone else comes on. In other countries, they do it different ways. But they always have to keep changing after so much time. When Christ sets on his kingdom over there in Jerusalem, at the end of the tribulation time, at the second coming, he's going to reign forever, 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 forever. He'll never cease to reign. Because he's the King of the kings and the Lord of lords. His kingdom is everlasting. How do I know? The Bible says, and I believe every word of it. I believe every word of it. All of this from a baby born in Bethlehem to a virgin 2,000 years ago. The purpose of his first coming was to take care of the sin problem that affected all people. He came to redeem us. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, by one man, Adam, our forefather. Everyone in this room, you can be traced back to Adam, every one of you. You didn't come out of a mud hole, nor from a monkey. We all could be traced back to Adam, one man, and Eve. I don't believe these professors and learned people that talk about evolving. I don't believe that. I know it's a lie because I know the Lord. I know that's true. And I know the devil's deceiving a lot of people out of their soul by believing that you, man, evolved out of a mud hole or something. That's all a big lie. In 1 Peter 2:24, the apostle wrote, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." 1 Peter 2:24. Because Christ died on the cross, all those stripes and injuries he received, our soul has been healed. And we're saved right now. If we've trusted Christ, we're as saved as we're going to ever be. You won't ever be any more saved if you've trusted Christ than you are now. It'll just be a reality when we finally are received into his presence. He accomplished this by taking all the guilt, our condemnation, our sin upon himself while hanging upon the cross. While Christ was hanging on the cross, God Almighty transferred all the sin of the human family and he put it on Jesus. All the guilt, all the condemnation, all the sin was transferred from the whole human family, put on Jesus, and then God's wrath fell on him and judged him for 3 hours, from 12 to 3. That's the reason Jesus screamed. Hebrew scholars say it sounded like the scream of a dying bull. My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me? Because God forsook him. Because God can't look on sin. God judged sin. So now, if you will accept his son that he raised up from the dead the third day, God showed he approved of Christ's paying for sin by raising him. And when you believe on this risen Christ, all that he is, his righteousness, God takes it and puts it over on you. And now you are righteous just like Christ because you have his righteousness. And it's all by faith, by believing in Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And since he took all sin, he had to die as the law of God demanded. He died for us. So if we would believe in him, we could live. All who do not accept his pay but for sin must pay their own sin debt in an eternal place called hell. You don't want Jesus? Fine. God's not going to force you. God's going to let you make up your mind where you want to spend eternity. There's only one way to be forgiven of our sin, and that's by faith in Jesus as our Savior. There's no other way. Coming to church won't get rid of your sin. Being baptized won't get rid of it. Getting religion won't get rid of it. I despise when somebody says, "I went to church last week and got religion." Well, you didn't get nothing. Religion don't save. You got to have Christ. Christ is the Savior, folks. The angel said out on the Judean hills of those poor shepherds, "Hey, a Savior's been born. He's Christ." A good life is not going to get a person to heaven. I've never bothered anybody. I've worked hard. I'm not against Jesus. Oh, yes, you are. If you don't accept him, you're against him. That's the way God views it. Jesus paid for all of our sin. He wanted to pay for them. He wanted to pay for them, so you and I could live with him forever. Jesus Christ wants you with him forever. I'd love to have my children with me forever. I don't know why she had to grow up. Nothing against Johnny. But when she was little and she stand on the car seat and she was just about like that, and she put them little arms around my arm. Back then you didn't have to wear seat belts, folks. She put them little arms around me and we'd go ride down the highway. I was in hog heaven, amen. But God loves us more than that, folks. I just wish I could tell you how much God loves you. And you're wasting your life if you're not living for him. You're cheating yourself. You're robbing yourself. He wants to bless us not just now. People today, well, I wish God would bless me. Well, he will if you live for him. And I say it this way, God will bless you now and reward you when you get to heaven. He don't reward you now. He blesses now when you trust him and live for him. So now we see the importance of the birth long ago. And all wise God was planning for our salvation, even though it was such an awful cost to him. Can you imagine how God must have hurt to see his son suffering like that? I see people on TV sometime, and they hear of something happened to one of their children or somebody they love, and they just go all to pieces. Folks, God Almighty has feelings too. God has feelings just like humans. And it hurt him to see his son suffer like that. So on December the 25th, tomorrow week, we celebrate the birth of God's Son who came to save us from our sin. We celebrate. Long ago the shepherds came and they worshiped him. Some wise men came from the east to worship him, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Isn't that a pretty scene? Old Searle laying back. All it needs is a pipe, ain't it? Amen. It looks just like Joseph, don't it? And here comes the three wise men. And every one of them bows different. Michael, I like the way you do it, son. Boy, you got it down. He just... Amen. What about you? Do you worship the Lord? Do you worship the Lord? Do you praise him? Do you thank him? Do you love him? Are you mindful of what he's doing for you? Are you listening to me? Are you really worshiping the Lord? Thanking him, praising him, remembering he's paid for all of your sin so you can live with him forever? He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of all of our life service, living for him. He's worthy. You can't do too much for him. So let's love him. Let's serve him. As we wait for him, he's fixing to come, get us. I know we preachers keep saying that, but I'm telling you what, it's going to happen. And Jesus said, be ye ready. With the way this world is today, with all the nuclear powers that are around in wicked men's hands and control, folks, we better be ready. There's no getting ready after it happens. What about you today? Have you been saved? You really been saved? If not, today's the day of salvation. That's what Paul said. Today. Do you really love the Lord today? Really? Would you like to come to the altar this morning and just praise the Lord? Thank the Lord? Just love the Lord a little bit? We'll invite you. Check up on your heart. Check on your attitude. Check on where you're standing before the Lord today. Because he's looking down and all the holy angels are looking down and they're observing us creatures. Are we really adoring that child like the angels were that grew up to be our Savior? Someone need to come today and trust Christ? We'd invite you to come. Come and share with us today. You want to be saved? You want to come pray for somebody? You got some need you need to pray for? We give that opportunity at the close of this service. You listen to what the Lord says to you in your heart. You listen. What's the Lord say? The Christmas story, as I said, there's not another one like it. You can read stories that'll really entertain you, but there's not a story that'll bless you like this one, because it'll change your eternal destination. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Salvation is something that we receive by faith, by believing. We say, Lord, I know I'm that sinner you died for, and I believe that you died for me, and I'm going to ask you to save me, and I'm going to trust you to be my Savior, and now I'm going to start living for you. Have you ever really did that? If not, today is a good day to start that. Loving God, as we bow before you at the close of this service, Lord. Lord, I can't save anyone. I just tried to share your word. I tried to encourage. I tried to challenge. I tried to let everybody know how much you love them. But I pray the Spirit of God now will do what needs to be done with every heart, every life. Because I'm not the Savior. So deal with hearts as they need to be dealt with. May we look at Christmas like the way we should look at Christmas. It's a time to celebrate the birth of the Son of God. It's his birthday. And there's never been a more important birth among men than the birth of God's Son. Thank you for letting us stand again today and proclaim the gospel. Bless each one here in the service. Again, thank you for the program and all those involved. And we praise you and love you in our Savior's blessed, saving name. Amen and amen.